Well, good morning. What a great worship time. Thank you so much, team. That was beautiful. And hopefully and prayerfully, it has brought you into the place that you can hear from God. And it's exciting to always be able to have the opportunity to present God's word. And so if you got your Bibles, we're going to continue in this series. Today's the last day. You've got some exciting things next Sunday and the Sunday after. But isn't it hard to sometimes navigate what's next? Yes, it is. Sometimes it's just hard to navigate through what's upcoming, through what's going to happen. And so today, we're going to kind of close this out and encourage you. And hopefully, you've been reading Deuteronomy 29, 30, 31, 32, the places where Moses is speaking his last words. And I've encouraged you in the last couple of weeks to read through there, but also to think, okay, that Moses is giving us a glimpse into what it's like to be able to speak life into other people. And so today we're going to kind of close this and hear the last words from Moses, which are very, very powerful words. And so if you got your Bibles, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. And once you have that, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. Now, most of your Bibles will probably give you this title before it, The Choice of Life or Death. And obviously, all of us here believe that the best choice is the choice of life, which is a choice lived with Jesus Christ. And so let's read through this. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it too far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear?" Think about it. Moses is trying to help the people transition. "Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it or do it?' But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it." Key word there is mouth. "See, I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God," now we should know this really well, "by walking in his ways," another key word, "and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live." I hope a desire that all of you have. "And multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today." This is powerful. Think about this. This is no joke. Moses says this, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them." God, today, if you would, God, just come and speak in the midst of me, Lord. I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds, that these words would be present in our minds, in our hearts, and on our mouths. Today, we commit this time to you. We love you. We honor you. And we give this over to you, and we pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus. We pray that his plans would not prosper in this time and in this place. And so today, cast him away in the name of Jesus, and let us live fully in your words and in your presence. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Okay, so I missed this. Can we take like a sidetrack real quick? I'm good at that, aren't I? So Heather and Nathan, can you stand up? This is the first Sunday that little baby Liam is here with us today. Yes, isn't he adorable? It's like babies, babies everywhere. Keep them coming. So we're all for it. Keep that nursery full. Want to go through a couple of things. Just a reminder that some of what Moses says at the end of the days is pretty repetitive, meaning he's saying it over and over and over again. And many of you think the pastors are what? pretty repetitive, right? We say things over and over and over again, and the Word of God says things over and over and over again, and Moses here says what over and over and over again? Love your God, Lord your God, with all your heart. We see that repeated all through Scripture, because if He holds all of us, it's really hard for stuff to get in the way, because we're embracing Him with all of our heart. And so, yes, His last words are kind of repetitive, and at the end of the morning, we are going to read kind of His final words, and just as a sending out, as a reminder, as really a beautiful testimony of Moses' life, his hopes, and future hopes for the nation. So a couple of things. Let's start out with number one. It's interesting here. He kind of describes, and so I think today you'll probably get to where I'm talking about bridges, bends, and barriers. He kind of describes here, would heaven come down? Would you go across with the waters? And so very, very similar here. He's basically saying, don't let anything hold you back. Don't let anything hold you back. Embrace Him with everything that you have. Hold on to Him with everything that you have. Oftentimes, things are what? Within our reach. Moses is saying, everything that you hoped for, everything that you longed for, everything that you have a desire for is within your reach. It's right there. Now, let's just be honest. Have you ever been to a place where, like, it's that close and you just say, I don't think I can go all in? Or I don't think I really want to take that turn. Or I don't think I really want to go around the corner, but it's right there. Oftentimes in recovery, we see that. It's like they get right to the point. And I'm walking with them, then all of a sudden, right, someone disappears. I text them and they don't text back. I call and they don't call back. And then weeks and weeks later, they show up at my office and say, there's a reason. This just happened recently. There's a reason I didn't show back up. There's a reason I didn't answer your call. The reason I didn't text you. And I always say this. I say, but you were so close. Your reunification with your son was weeks away, and now it's years away. And it's heartbreaking as a pastor, because I watch people get so close, and then. And oftentimes we can get discouraged and say, well, all that time and all that work was in vain, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that God's words die. And so if it's centered on the Lord, then one day restoration is possible. But think about just in your own life. So today I want you to really apply it to you today. I want you to think about where you're at, what part of the journey you're on. And maybe there's just something a little bit too far that stretches you a little too far, that maybe challenges you a little too much, and you're in that battle, that struggle, that time of either going for it or saying, and it's right there within reach. It's right there close to you. Think about this season. This is getting even later into really Moses' life, and almost to the point where he's going to announce that he's 120 years old, and this is it. In fact, we're going to read the final passage from him where it was it. It was time. And he's telling the people, don't miss out on this new opportunity. Don't let it go. Don't fall back on old habits. Don't look to those who haven't encouraged you to be all that God has created you to be. I want you to think about a couple of statements here, and I want you to really think personal. Where are you at today? Where is God calling you today where you feel like it's just a little bit too far, a little bit too much of a stretch? And God is saying, it's not too much of a stretch. I'm around that bend. I'm over that bridge. I can remove that barrier, so that you can receive all that I have for you. And when you think about the description of the promised land, it was quite the place. In fact, the descriptions were beautiful, almost kind of fantasy-like. For with the heart, and we believe this, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Whenever we go elsewhere, the intellect is exalted. What do you mean? Moses here was saying, I need you to remove your intellect. So today, I want you to just be a little bit, I don't know the right word to say, not as smart as you are right now. Does that work? I was going to say another word, but that really isn't appropriate, okay? But I want you to just think a little less smart than you normally do. See, the problem is many of you balance the intellect with the stretch. Or you balance the intellect with the what's right within reach of you. And so you let theology, you let thoughts, you let things get in the way, and so it just stays there. And we justify it as spiritual. And Moses is saying, let it go. Just love the Lord your God with all your heart and everything that you have. Because see, sometimes when we go the way of the intellect, we don't go the way of God. Really, I was thinking about this week. You have to think, people probably thought a variety of things about Moses, right? People in that day, leaders of that day, other nations, because Moses is driving these people around through the power of God, and these crazy things are happening. They've got to think he's a little bit off, right? They've got to think like when he said some things, they probably thought, well, Moses, that doesn't make any sense. See, if we were really to practically live out the days of Moses, many of you would look and say, Moses, I mean, that's really going to happen. God's really going to, we're in the middle of, and we don't know where we're going to, and you mean God's going to come and, you've got to think like, especially in the beginning, he didn't have much of a resume except a murder. Come on now. See, we like resumes. We like people who have been something for so long and they've got credibility. Moses had a resume of a murder. Yeah, many would say, well, you know, justified. And many would say, well, is it ever justified? And on and on. But God used Moses. And Moses grew in power, in might, in strength. And so how often do we go to the brink and just step back? And how often did the people of God get to the brink of really embracing him completely and then step back when Moses wasn't around? You say, what do you mean? Well, sometimes, let me talk to the men. Sometimes when our ladies aren't around, we tend to what? Now, I've heard the stories, okay? In fact, I just heard one this week. Well, my wife is gone, and the last 2 hours before she got back, I got things together. And I'm like, what? My list is so long. If I don't get started right away, you know what I'm saying? By the time she's back, I can't do it 2 hours. I'm just kidding. Not really. But anyway, we'll just say it's kidding, but and I don't ever do the list all the way. I learned something from a guy a long time ago. He said, if you do the whole list, then tomorrow there's a new one. So you might as well just step through it pretty slowly because there'll always be a list. Thanks to Mark Bovey. He taught me that before I was married. So anyway, but here's the thing. And I want you to think about this for a second, okay? Moses was saying, you don't have to hold on to anything. I'm not giving you I just want you to hold on to me. And these words that I'm giving you, and then live those words out. It wasn't a list. It wasn't like a comprehensive. But he was saying, you've got to live it fully. Not in the last 2 minutes, not in the last 2 hours, but fully. And oftentimes, he watched people slip away in the very moment that he was removed. And let's just be honest, at times when certain people in our lives are removed, what is the saying? I just said it about women, and the cat's away and the mice play. Moses is saying, just because I go away, God is just as interested in you as he is in me, as he is in the... He was talking about transformation of human character really comes when the language of God changes. Moses was talking kind of like a language. He was saying the language that I have comes from somewhere, and it comes from the heart, But specifically today, there's some key things in here I want you to hold on to that don't have to do with the heart, obviously are poured out from the heart. But he was saying, I really want you to get to the place where the story of God is discovered by you. Meaning all of a sudden, the story of God, you have a piece in. The story of God, you begin to see how your story is connected to his story, and it's a continued story. Meaning Moses was saying, the story doesn't end with me, it continues with you. Meaning today, the story of God continues with you, and many of you are on a discovery of discovering that. And you're at crossroads where you need to make decisions to step into these chapters that God is calling you to. Just some fun translation for you. Far off is kind of the language that's used here. I use kind of out of reach, but far off translates as Paul, Lowell. A verb meaning to do wonderful and extraordinary things. Meaning Moses was saying, it's not far off for you to go and do extraordinary things. And church, I think, and I don't know what it is, but I think each and every one of you, outside of the church, because I believe we're doing extraordinary things at AFC. Things that people stand and say, I can't believe you are where you are, AFC, after COVID and after this and after that. And there are days that I stand amazed at what's happening here. But I want you to take AFC out of the picture and just look at your life. Do you feel like you're experiencing extraordinary days? Because see, Moses was talking to a people, a person. Jesus said words such as, go and do greater things. He was saying, the wonderful and extraordinary things are not that far off. If you'll just love them with all that you have, you'll discover those. Something significant here, and we don't usually catch this, but the word mouth is used. Now, when else do you think this was used? Come on, scholars. Remember Moses said, I'm not a really good speaker. Do you remember that? Okay, and we kind of all use that because we say, well, Moses wasn't a good, what's he right now? Come on now. Is somebody else speaking this for him? No, in fact, if you've been reading, which I hope you have been, you'll see that who called everybody? Moses called everybody unto himself, and he began to speak, not someone for him. Which means, yes, well, advance in his ministry. So way back when, he used a statement, well, I'm not a good speaker. Way back when, he said, I can't go before the way back when, but this is a different Moses. The way back when Moses isn't the Moses that sits here in these words. And so he uses this word mouth. It's why I said this passage isn't completely about the heart. It's also about the mouth, which is an outpouring of your heart. But he talks about the mouth, as in his mouth has changed. It isn't the mouth that it was. I mean, imagine if we were all preteen boys or girls, right? If we continued to act like that, it'd be exciting, wouldn't it? Church would be very exciting. I'm telling you, we'd come in and wouldn't know what's going on. If y'all started talking like preteens, I would probably not make it very long. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, thankfully, many of you have matured. Sorry, preteens. You all, like, I love you. I have one, which is so weird. But anyway, let's talk about this for a second. He was saying that not only is the heart a part of it, but the mouth is a weapon. Because, see, in the beginning, he thought, well, my mouth will never be able to communicate the words of God. He was actually minimizing the power of God, the ability of God to work through him. But over the years, he worked through that. Let me ask you today. Now, many of you have very solid mouths, meaning they're good in speaking, they're good in sharing. I'll take it that far, right? Because many are grace fingers. But think about it. Not about mouth, but I want you to think about something that maybe God, think about it for a second, that when you look back, maybe it's an ability, a gifting, right? Something like a spiritual gift that you thought you would never have, but over the years God has pulled out of you and worked on in you and challenged you and has grown you. And so what you're doing today, you didn't think you'd do 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but now God has given you the strength to say, I can live in your strength and I can do this. I used to be scared to death to get in front of people. In fact, there's still family members that say, I caught you online for a second and I still can't believe you're up there. Because I was shy. For years I was shy. After college I was shy. I sat in the back of the room. Now whether I'm here at some other church, I sit in the front because I want all that God has for me. And if someone says, hey, can you pray? If someone says, hey, can you get up and teach? It doesn't matter. I say yes. Why? Because if God said it, then I must be able to do it because he gives me the... So what about you? What's that thing a long time ago that you said to God, I don't think I could ever, but now God has. Or maybe you're still in that thing and you don't feel like you can get past that thing, and yet God is saying, I can. And so through this, Moses was talking about his own personal victory. And then he was saying a challenge of the people, your mouth is a weapon. Did you all know that? Those sayings about like sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will, that is the biggest lie. I hope that parents aren't using that because words hurt, words encourage, words speak life. Interestingly enough here, this passage is titled, The Choice of Life. And life comes through words spoken. And so he was saying, hey, I've been a mouthpiece. In fact, I've grown in confidence to know that God gives me the words and I speak them. And so now as you go into the promised land, use your mouth as an expression, as an instrument of expression, an instrument of revelation, an instrument of means, an instrument of encouragement. Don't use it as an instrument of hurt. Don't use it as an instrument to discourage. Don't use it as an instrument to cut down. He was saying, your mouth. We listened to instruments today. Beautifully play. And Moses was saying, your mouth can be beautifully played for the kingdom. To bring life, to encourage. We talked a little bit last week about abuse, and I think probably the number one abuse would be verbal, because it's so easy. We forget so quick, but yet it hurts. People remember, they don't let it go. I can't tell you how many times I sit down with people and I say, you know, these words that you're sharing, I promise you if I brought the person in the room now, 20 years later, they'd say, huh? And you've lost sleep for 20 years. You've thought about it for 20 years. And most of the time when we bring the person in the room, they're like, I said what? You mean you still think that I, you mean you remember that? I'm like, yeah, they remember it. Moses claimed to be an ineffective speaker, communicator, and yet God came in and made him a tremendous communicator. Yet God can come in and take that. Yet God can come in and transform your mouth from a mouth that's negative, that's not an uplifting, that's not an encouraging, and he can switch that. He can use it. He can transform it. And he can inspire people through it. In fact, when you go back in the scripture, it translates as a heavy mouth. Y'all ever feel heavy? Right? A heaviness. And so something about the fear that Moses had in the beginning was heavy. Meaning he wasn't sure, like, what do I do with this? Like, not only did he fear speaking, not only was he not sure of himself, there was a lot of things, but there was a heaviness. Like, I'll never get past the barriers that are in front of me concerning this. And yet this time when it's used, it's just used as mouth. an avenue to communication that brings life. Man, isn't it neat how God transformed him, changed him? Isn't it neat how God can change you, transform you, take that thing that 20 years ago you thought, well, I'll never be able to control my mouth. People don't say that to me in the church because I say, you know what? I'm working on mine. You can work on yours. Our mouths are a sword. Our mouths can stop us, right? They can also encourage somebody to go around that bend, to go over that bridge, to remove that barrier. And that's exactly what Moses was doing. He was saying, people, you're about to go into a new land, a new time, a new era, a new opportunity. He said, go there with a mouth that pours out the presence of God. So we've got to go here because this whole passage is about this. And I love that Moses is ending his life with encouraging people to choose life. And I hope today that we're people that choose life because God gifts it. He breathes us. He gives us breath to be able to live life. And it is really a beautiful thing. And so Moses did something interesting, and here's where kind of much of this is words that God gave him, and then a lot of it is words that Moses kind of fills in. Moses lived enough to be able to speak enough about God. And so he fills in and he says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. Well, what do you mean? I mean, did you read this scripture? See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rule, then you shall live and multiply and the Lord God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare, I love this, translate that word, to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Moses got a little brave, didn't he? Wouldn't you be a little brave if you know you're about to pass away and everything for the people in front of you stands in the balance? I mean, think about it. Everything stood in the balance. The corner was about to be turned, and Moses did everything he could to bring truth and life to that turn. And I believe still today that God wants to pour out everything he can as you turn this, as you transition, as you move. And so, when you look at curse, it literally translates ill will against you. So Moses was saying, I don't know who you are, but if you're going to do what God is not calling you to do, then I curse you today. I mean, it'd be interesting if like I stood here and I knew I was going to die tomorrow and I said, well, I'm going to bless you or curse you, right? I mean, think about this. Moses was speaking pretty strongly, but he was also saying, hey, evil will destroy. And if you want to go into this new era ready with all that God has for you, then I need to just let you know evil can't go there. It can't turn into that. It can't. Because what happens when evil gets into something? We talk about it all the time. It grows. And as it grows, it takes over. As it grows, it becomes all that's present. Even as much as we try to hide it. Moses was serious. And still today, God is serious. He doesn't want you entering even tomorrow with that kind of heart. Blessings and curses were before them. Interestingly enough, when we look at the beginning of this, he gathered all the people. And he spoke this to all the people. And he said, basically, you have a choice. Either you're going to receive the blessing and enter, or you're going to receive the curse. And your days won't be long. If you'll look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 12 to 13, very interesting words that he speaks here. I'm going to start in 10, though. When you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, for this is the commandment that I command you today. It's not hard. It's not far off. It's not out of reach. And so, the blessing of God is not out of reach. The life that he wants to give us is not out of reach. He talks about words such as ways. Not ways as in W-A-Z-E. Do y'all like that app as you're traveling? It gives you kind of the route. It tells you the police, so you slow down, but you're holiness people, so you're not speeding anyway, right? And so, you know, you just keep on going, and you put a little light there when you see him and stuff for those that, you know, aren't. And so, but think about it. Here he's talking about a choice, that there is a way to life, that there is a path to obedient life, a path to pleasant and wise ways. In fact, when you look at this, it actually translates and challenges you to go back and forth to Proverbs, and you'll see that, like, he's saying there is something to living with the Lord in all that he has for you that really makes your life kind of pleasant. Not without hardship, not without challenges, not without obstacles, but in the midst of those, he gives you kind of a pleasant spirit. So challenge for today. Do the people around you consider you to be pleasant? Wise. Humble. Obedient. And so, as we close this out, what bridge are you afraid to go over because you feel like you might be stretched too much? What bend is coming your way? And see, some of them are coming without you having any choice in the matter. So how are you going to engage that? How are you going to remove the barriers? Moses was setting up a beautiful transition into all of this. They are summed up in the things that keep us from taking that spiritual risk, going the extra mile, leading into the spiritual things rather than leading away from them. See, sometimes if you ever get to a fork in a road, you have a choice. And sometimes we're going to come to those forks in the road whether we like it or not. And we're going in a direction whether we like it or not. And how we, right, how our mindset is, our heart is how it'll play out. And Moses was saying, all right, people, whether you want it or not, whether you've gotten comfortable with the wilderness or not, whether you're excited about, because a lot of people were excited to get there, whatever camp you fall in, it's coming. God's got a promise and he's going to fulfill it. It seemed impossible. It was really lands that evil nations had taken over. And God was saying, you're going to move in. God's still saying to us that if you'll move into places where there's evil, things can change. Things can transform. And so, the ways of the Lord are often within reach, but our heart uses the weapon of the mouth to turn us away from life. I wanted to share with you the last, kind of the last thing that Moses shares. And if you'll go with me on a journey here. A lot of people in the Bible that have tremendous encounters with him, they sing a song. You all know Mary's song. Others, I mean, it's just throughout the Bible I could list. There's people where the Lord does such a mighty work that all they can do is bust out in song. Y'all ever bust out in song, just in excitement about what God's doing in your life? Many of you do. Many of you have life songs that, my goodness, when the Lord is moving, you just can't help but turn it on or sing it or let it out through music. And that's what Moses does. So in chapter 32, if you want to read along or if you just want to listen, this is considered his song. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May the teaching drop as the rain. This is really beautiful. My speech distill the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity, and upright is he. They have dealt corruptly with him. I mean, think about the theology in this. Many of you will know that this speaks directly to who? Jesus. Come on now, church. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are no longer his children because they are blemished. They are a crooked and twisted generation. Do you thus repay the Lord, you foolish and senseless people? Is not he your father who created you, who made you and established you? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show your elders, and they will tell when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance. When he divided mankind, he fixed the borders of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. But the Lord's portion is his people. But the Lord's portion continues to be his people. Jacob, his allotted heritage. He found him in a desert land and in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them onto its pinions. The Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. He made him ride on the high places of the land, and he ate the produce of the field. And he goes on and on and on. And we skip to verse 43. Rejoice with him, O heavens. Bow down to him, all gods. For he avenges the blood of his children and takes vengeance on his adversaries. He repays those who hate him and cleanses his people's land. And church, I believe that we each have a part in cleansing the land that we get to encounter, that we get to engage, that we get to be a part of. So I'm going to tell you a story, then we're going to close really quick, and I think we're going to skip the song because I'm running too long. This is a true story. Someone shared it with me and was able to kind of portray this. But I want you to think about this for a second. A young lady, she's probably not a little bit younger than I am. She was blind her whole life, never ever having the opportunity to see. Now see, most of us don't really understand that. Most of us don't have a concept of what it means not to see. Interestingly enough, she met a young man many, many years ago. And that young man took an interest in her. Now, that young man testifies that part of his interest was what? Y'all, are you asleep? Did I sleep you with Moses' words that are so powerful that you should go home and read the rest? His looks, or her looks. And so, he was intrigued, began to build a relationship. But on the opposite side, she only knew his words, what he said. Hallie said it. The way he communicated. What he was able to say in her presence. She always said the gifts never mattered. The stuff never mattered. The one time that he gave her flowers, she said, well, that was sweet of you, but what am I supposed to do with them? Interestingly enough, time went on, and they got married and have created a family. And when it came down to it, someone asked her, well, what? I mean, you couldn't see him. This is someone in a worldly perspective. You couldn't see him. You can't really like, I mean, how do you know? And she said, I've always sensed, known, and understood his heart. And his heart was one that was after the Lord. So I don't have to see him. I don't hope to see him. It doesn't matter if I ever get to see him. Think about this for a second. You are not to follow it as a scholar, not to master it as a reasoner, but with the instinct of the soul, you are to grasp the love of God in Christ. You don't have to see it. You don't have to know the knowledge of it. You have to know the heart of it. And when you know the heart of it, it'll come out of your heart. And that's what Moses was saying to us today. He was saying, choose life. Choose the blessing. Choose to be the mouthpiece. Even if you don't feel like you're worthy or able or gifted enough, one day, if you let him, you will be able to do it through his strength and his power. Because here's the thing. We're seeing great things. But Moses was saying to the people, I don't know exactly how God's going to do it. He may no longer use a pillar or food from the sky, or I don't know what he's going to do, but it doesn't matter how he does it. The fact of the matter is he will do it. He will care for you. He will take care of you. He will heal you. He will encourage you. But you have to choose. Even back then, talking about choice, you have to choose his ways above any other way. And so are you willing today to choose his ways above any other ways? Are you willing today to choose life? Are you willing today to say, you know what, that bridge isn't that big. It's just the enemy making it seem that big. That barrier is actually smaller. It's just a step. Moses was saying, see with his eyes and then respond with your heart. God, today, we thank you for the time you've gifted us, that you've given us, that you've blessed us with. We ask today, Lord, that you would just move in and amongst each person that's here, encourage them. God, I pray that you would just encourage them to see, not with the physical eyes, but with the spiritual eyes, all that you desire, all that you hope for, and all that you want for us. Because God, there's still promised lands that you're calling us to step into. We love you, we honor you, we pray that you would just be with us as we go to Sunday school, continue to hear our hearts about Marilyn and Marcia and others, Lord, that you would just bring healing to them today. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.
Speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just